Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Tonight I want to talk just a little bit about prayer, but not how we pray, but more about our attitudes when we're praying and as things go on in life, as our prayers sometimes don't work out the way we like. I'm no expert in prayer, but I do pray from time to time, and I have seen the Lord answer my prayers as I expect He should and will, and I've seen Him answer my prayers not the way that I think He should and will. And for God, I think the big things are for Him is that He's looking at our attitudes when our prayers don't work out the way that we'd like them to, or maybe that we think they should. My hope tonight is that we'll be encouraged to pray, and that we should always expect that the Lord will answer our prayers. Sunday nights we've been dealing with Serge. Serge has been coming and speaking to us, and we've been practicing and hearing about immediate answers and praying for people and laying hands on them and expecting miracles. And we've seen some of those. We've seen God's divine touch, which is exactly how, you know, the Bible speaks that we should. But sometimes the answer isn't always immediate. And we need to know how, I suppose, think about how we handle that disappointment when it doesn't come when we think it should. It's a big topic. So we've only got a few minutes, so I want to just crank along. I'm just going to put a few thoughts together, and I just pray that you'll hear the things you need to hear. My hope is that we won't be discouraged from continuing to step out. You know, just because I'm going to talk a little bit tonight about some of the things that have been on my heart that aren't the immediate, we shouldn't neglect that. We shouldn't throw that away and say, oh, well, you know, when we're praying, we should expect that God will heal us, will impact us, will touch us in an immediate way. It's something that I think is should be our natural instinct. However, obviously it doesn't always work that way. Matthew 21:22 says, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. All right, so the word says it. The word says you're going to receive. If we believe, He'll answer the prayer. But there's a bit of a caveat on this, isn't there? And the caveat is our prayers need to be in accordance to God's will. James 4, verse 3 says, You ask, you do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. And the commentary to this verse says that God's goal is not to give us what our own impulses demand. His goal is that we will learn to love what He loves. And I just want to read that again. That God's goal is not to give us what our own impulses demand. His goal is that we will learn to love what He loves. Sometimes it takes time to find out God's will. Sometimes it takes time to understand what God loves. You know, we think we know because we have a hope and a need that's in front of us. So we have that issue. There's other times that it takes time for God's answer to arrive. And I'll talk a little bit about that shortly. But this year, for Cindy and I, it's been a good year. There's been no disasters. But there's been a couple of things in our lives that have gone on that have just been a challenge for us. And, you know, sometimes we walk along in life and you know you're in God's will. You know, God's answered your prayer. There's been divine, you know, doors that have opened that have taken you down a path where you think, you know, this is where I'm meant to be, and you feel good about that, and there's things that confirm that. But then sometimes, and there's several situations this year where we're working through where the end result or the outworking of where we're at hasn't worked out what we would have expected if God's hand was in it. And we think, well, Lord, you've put me here. This is the path you've taken us down. Why is the outworking different from what we would expect? Where's the blessing in this? Now, maybe that's a bit of a naive thought. thought process, but that's the one I've been having. Lord, where are you in this? What's going on? But through all of this, God's looking at my attitude. And tonight, as I talk to you, as we have this discussion, I'm sharing with you what God's been preaching to me for the last 7 or 8 months. So this is really just me sharing a journey that I've been on, and I hope that it encourages you guys, if some of you here tonight. I suppose I'd like you to think about your own lives as you're listening to this, and just think about what you guys are praying about, what you're going through, and if there are some delays, just maybe there's some encouragement for you tonight that God is with us, he's for us, but he's looking at how we respond. He's interested in how we behave. I've been podcasting or YouTubing a couple of sermons from a guy called Mike Connell. He's really good. If you've got some time, YouTube Mike Connell. He's a great preacher. And he says in one of his sermons, God isn't interested in making us feel good. He's interested in our character, which is unfortunate. But that's the realities of it. I think when we're new Christians, I know I look back, I seem to get more immediate answers than I do now. Now I sort of have to wade through them and war for them. And there's times when they come immediately. There's no doubt. And there's other times when you've just got to crank along and just trust God that he's doing the right thing, that he's in control. And sometimes that's not always easy to do. I want to look at a couple of examples tonight in the Word about answers to prayer. I want to look at some immediate, I'm going to throw a few examples out of immediate answers, delayed answers, and some other things, so we can just sort of put a bit of a groundwork in, if you'll bear with me. In Matthew 8, you don't have to go far in the Word to find some examples of immediate answers to prayer. Jesus cranked out a lot of them in the New Testament, and I opened the Bible the other night at chapter 8 in Matthew, and it's just after Jesus preaches on the Sermon on the Mount. So there's three chapters, I think it is, which is the Sermon on the Mount, I think 6, 7, and 8, 5, 6, 7, somewhere around there. And as soon as Jesus finishes those chapters and he comes down from the Mount, so he's preached the Sermon on the Mount and he comes down off the Mount, immediately then at the end of that sermon, he sees a leper and he heals a leper, right? It's instantaneous. Keep reading into chapter 9 and he really gets going. So he heals a paralytic. He heals a woman with a flow of blood. He raises a girl from the dead. He heals two blind men. And he restores a man's speech by casting out a demon. All right, so that's just in two chapters. Jesus does immediate healings, answers immediately. John 14:12 says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. Right, so he's telling us that if he's done those, we can do those. So as I'm talking tonight about a delay in some of our answers that come, I don't want to forget about the part that the Lord says to us, we can do what Jesus did, and we should believe for the immediate as well. However, the Bible also tells us some examples of some delayed answers. And I want to just open up, and I know you'll all know the story, but it's worth having a bit of a read tonight. In Daniel chapter 10, 12 through 13. And if I can just... I'm going to go forward a little bit there. So Daniel, in chapter 10, verse 2, and Daniel's praying, right? So he says, at the time I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine, touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. Okay, so he's, and I don't want to dwell on this chapter too much, but he's praying and he's prayed for 3 weeks. So then when we go over to chapter 10, in verse 7, an angel comes. So he's prayed for 3 weeks. Bear with me. He prays for 3 weeks. An angel comes with the answer. Okay, and he gets all a bit overcome and he passes out, or he gets slain in the spirit, whatever happens. And he gets woken up by the angel in verse 10. And it says, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, You who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up. For I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persia kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And so what he's talking about, if you look into that, is there was a demonic war in the heavenlies, and the answer was coming. So he starts praying. God says to the angel, go. There's the answer, go now. But 3 weeks it took. So even when God said, go now, it still took 3 weeks. There was a delay in the heavenlies, and that was just a hard slog to get that answer. So if Daniel has to wait, there's every chance we're going to have to wait at some point. Another example is the Lord promised to deliver the Israelites into the promised land from slavery. But he took 40 years to deliver that promise. And they wandered around the same mountain for 40 years until God brought them to a place where they were ready. Why was that? There were some things in their life that had to be sorted out. They weren't ready for the promised land. 40 years. I hope that God doesn't make me wait 40 years for some answers, but let's, you know, the jury's out on that one, I suppose. There's also some examples of prayers that were answered in uncomfortable situations. So we've had immediate answers, we've had delayed answers, and we've had answers that have come in uncomfortable situations. And again, we can look at Daniel. There's two great examples in Daniel. First one, obviously, Daniel in the lion's den. The answer didn't come till he was in the lion's den. There were some issues. He had to go in there, and then the answer came. And it's the same with the three men in the furnace. The answer didn't come until they walked into the furnace. And that would have been an impressive day for those three guys. Soldiers falling in around them, and then they went into this furnace, and then Jesus shows up, and then there's a change in the nation, right? So there's the fruit, but they had to go into that situation. I was mulling on these, and I just felt the Holy Spirit say to me that probably one of the best examples is Jesus, who went to hell to get the keys of the kingdom. And when you think that through, Jesus was crucified. That would have been bad enough. He actually went into hell to get the answers for us. And that's a fair thing for some of us, you know, who are, you know, the things that I'm talking about that have made, the things that this year that have been going on in my life aren't really that big a deal. You know, no one's dying. You know, we don't have these big issues that are, my marriage isn't on the rocks. You know, I still have my house, you know. There's no life-changing experiences there. But I shouldn't expect that everything's going to be easy. If Jesus had to go to those lengths to get some answers, then so are we going to have to sometimes have to dig deep. There are times when we're going to have to go on a journey in order to find an answer. I've been reading a book lately, Graham Cook. It's called Crafted Prayer. It's a very good book. It's a very small book. And I encourage you, if you have time, to get this book. It talks about why sometimes our prayers don't seem to be answered in the way we'd like. And he says in this book, there's some questions that we should ask ourselves as our situations are unfolding. And I want to read these questions out to you tonight. The first one is, what is it that God wants to be for me now that he would not be at any other time? So here you are in a situation that you're struggling with and you're saying, Lord, where is the answer? Here's a question you can ask. What is it that God wants to be for me now that he could not be for me at any other time? Next question. What is God doing in me to make me more like Jesus in this situation? What is God doing in me to make me more like Jesus? And finally, what else is God doing through me to the people around me as I go through these circumstances? I've got a very good friend. He doesn't go to this church, so I can speak about him. I'm not going to mention his name. He has been a Christian for many years. We've known each other since we were kids, and he's going through some tough times. He's married, got two kids. He's basically lost his job due to his health. And it's been 10 years. 10 years. I reckon it's been that at least, of one thing after the other. Now, as Christians, sometimes we can sit down and go, well, you know, there's something genetic going on there, or there's a, you know, blessing and cursings. We talked about that a few years ago. Graham preached about that. There must be something going on back in the background. And possibly, who, I don't know the answers to that. But I know that he has worked hard through all of those things, as well as gone to see specialists and had every test you could possibly imagine. He knows every hospital. He's been to every hospital in Melbourne. Knows them all. I've been there to visit them. I've been to most of their, we rate them on their food. But he's really challenged. There's no end to this thing. It just keeps coming. And a few years ago, he had this miraculous healing. God healed him, restored his finances. Within a few months, he was back in a hole, a different one. Now, I'm not going to sit here and explain why that is. I don't know. There's been a lot of prayer, a lot of everything. But he is where he is. And that's not the reason for my sermon tonight. The point I'm trying to make is that he has got an amazing attitude. Now, there are times when I ring him and he'll say to me, not now, right? Tomorrow. And I know that if he speaks to me, then he's probably going to say something he shouldn't say. And he's wise enough to keep his mouth shut, hang up the phone, and we'll do it again another day, right? And I have never once heard him say anything against God in the situation. Now, 10 years is a long time. Lost his job, his wife's working 2-3 jobs. You know, it's difficult. You'd be frustrated. He's living in immense pain most days. So you've got to ask yourself, where's the answer? But Proverbs 13:3 says, he who guards his mouth preserves his life. And he's done that. And when we look at this question that Graham Cook says, what else is God doing through me to the people around me as I go through these circumstances? I'm not saying he's going through this because he should, for an example for the rest of us. I'm not saying that. But how he handles that situation is an inspiration to me and others that know him. And I look at him and I think, man, I better do better. Not from a condemnation point of view, but he just inspires me to handle the tough times better than what I'm naturally wanting to do. And so that is a way that God is using him in a situation that's very bad, very average. And we don't know. We don't know when we're going through things how we are relating our situations outwardly. And we don't know how it's affecting others around us. And it's something I think we all need to think about. It's what God's looking for. Graham Cook goes on to say, we must begin to see the wider purposes of God at work. A prayer may not be answered until all of God's wider objectives have been achieved. A prayer may not be answered until all of God's wider objectives have been achieved. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, for we see through a glass darkly. And the commentary to this verse says that this is a reference to ancient mirrors that were made of metal and gave dim reflections. This is an illustration of our imperfect knowledge during this age. In our imperfection, we don't fully understand God's ways. God's got the big picture. He's up here and we're down here and he can see what he wants to achieve. And we need to trust that he hasn't forgotten us, even when the times are tough. I know that there's been times in my life where I've waited, I know, for a significant challenge that I went through. It was 6 years I waited for an answer. And it was a daily struggle. And I know others have waited longer. But I'm just saying that God knew, and he took me down a path. It took me time to achieve, I suppose. God had a goal for me. And so that was the path I had to walk on for that particular thing. And I just had to trust that God knew what was going on. And now I look back, he did. At the time, it wasn't great. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. We think we know. God knows. And if we can just have that belief system, then we don't have to end in death. We can say, Lord, I'm here with you. My mate, who I spoke to him just the other day, And I was talking to him and just catching up. And he said, you know, Hamish, no matter what happens, if I never get a healing, if the end result is that I can hear God on a daily basis, then I would trade my health for that. That's a big statement for someone who has lost nearly everything. You know, all he wants to do is hear God's voice. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for our heart attitude and a relationship. We need to trust God that he wants the best for us, that he loves us more than we know. And tonight I want us to consider where we're at with that. What's going on in our own lives? Has the Lord answered our prayers as we think he should? And how are we responding to the delay if the delay is there? Are we angry at God? The word angry is a little bit aggressive. But when you look at Webster's dictionary, it's defined as painful. It's like a sore. Does it bring discomfort to us? Are we feeling resentful? I know that I have resented God. I know I've been angry at God. God's a big boy. As long as we can acknowledge that and come to him, he knows that sometimes it's hard for us, but we can't stay there. We've got to move on. We've just come back from a week up in the high country. We hired a cabin just looking out towards the Kosciuszko National Park. It was great. We needed a break and we went up there with the boys. And one morning I got up and I just felt really unwell in my spirit. And so I walked around. We were on 9 acres and I just was walking the boundary. Me and God were having a conversation and God started speaking to me about my attitudes. And I was talking to him about some of the stuff that's on my mind. And I said to him, look, Lord, you know, what's happening here? And so he just started just speaking to me just about my attitudes, and they weren't great. And it's probably, I don't know if it was the stuff I hope I wasn't showing it outwardly, but there's every chance. But I know that what I was doing at home, in the privacy of my own home and in the privacy of my own heart, there was some really dark stuff going on. And so after about 4 or 5 laps of this property, I went back and sat down, and Dan and Johnny were killing a few stormtroopers upstairs on the Xbox, and Cindy was in front of the fire having her quiet time. And I just sat down with her and I just started talking to her about what God had spoken to me about. And it was interesting, God was speaking to her about the same sort of things. And so we just went outside and we sat down and we just prayed and we asked for forgiveness. And we said, Lord, speak to us. I said, Lord, speak to me about what I've said that I've forgotten. And the Holy Spirit just started reminding me. He's pretty good at that. And so I renounced those things and I replaced them with a blessing similar to what was talked about the other week. And you know, it's interesting. Now I can say to the Lord, it's your problem. I can trust that he's got it under control. You know, the situations are still there. We've come back from holidays and we're still working through some things. That hasn't changed, but my attitude's changed and it needed to change. And now I can say, Lord, this is your issue. Help me to walk as I should and say the things I need to say. That doesn't mean to say we roll over and we just, you know, let things just happen. But if we've got a heart that's right towards God as best as we can, then God can speak to us easier and guide us and help us in that situation. And I think now I'm trusting there's a different covering over these things that are going on, and it's up to God now. It's sort of like sharing your burden with him. It's your issue now. There's one example in the Word that the Lord spoke to me, and time's pushing. I'm going to have to rip through this pretty quick. I was reading in Chronicles 17, chapters 1 through 4. And the Lord spoke to me about this and when I was reading it. And I want to read it to you. It's talking about David. It says, now it came to pass when David was dwelling in his house that David said to Nathan the prophet, see now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under tent curtains. Then Nathan, who was the prophet of Israel at the time, said to David, do all that is in your heart, for God is with you. But it happened that night that the word came to Nathan saying, go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, you shall not build me a house to dwell in. And then further on from that, in verses 11 through 20, so I'm going to read 11 and 12. And it shall be when your days are fulfilled, when you must go to be with your fathers. So this is what Nathan's saying to David, because it goes on a bit. I don't have all night to read you the whole chapter. So it shall be when you go to be with your fathers that I will set up your seed after you, and you will, who will be one of your sons, and I will establish his kingdom, and he shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. And then from verses 13 to 20, David goes on to worship the Lord. And for seven verses, he says, Lord, there's none like you. You're the, you know, I love you. And he just lays his heart before the Lord. Now, what is that story about? It's a story about someone who had an idea that was a good idea. Right? David, we know, was a man after God's own heart. And he said, I want to build God a temple for the ark. It was a great idea. And it'd be like me going to see Gray and saying, Gray, I've got this great idea. I have a ministry I think I want to do for the community, for whatever. I'm just throwing an analogy out here. And I think it's, you know, the Lord's really been speaking to me about it. And Gray going, yeah, no worries, mate. That sounds great. Go and do it. And so I'm feeling good about life. I'm going to go and do this thing. I'm feeling great in my spirit. And then a few weeks later, he comes back to me and he says, actually, the Lord's spoken to me and I really feel uncomfortable about that. You shouldn't do it. But it's still a good idea. It's a great idea. But someone else is going to do it instead of you, because of some of the things you've done in the past. You're no longer right to do that job. And that's what happened with David. David had a good idea. The man of God at the time loved the idea, but God had different ideas because of David's past. David was a man of war and had blood on his hands, and so he wasn't to build the temple. Now, the Lord said to David, I'm going to bless you and all those things. But what was David's first response? The first thing that David does in the Word is that he worships God. He's got a great idea. He wants to do something for God. And God likes the idea. But he just doesn't want him to do it. And his response is, Lord, there was none like you. And then what does he do? He goes out and collects materials for the temple and plans it and assists his son in building the temple. But he never got to do it. He never got the glory for it. It was Solomon's. How many of us would do that? Hamish, it's a good idea. I love it. You're not going to do it, but I'm going to give it to someone else and they're going to do it. And while you're at it, go and help them do it. That would be a challenge, I think, especially if it was your idea and you felt compelled to do it. But David says, no, the Lord knows and I will worship him. And I think that's an example to all of us. You know, we can achieve what David did. We know. The word says that David was a man after God's own heart. But David wasn't always a good person. We know. He wasn't a great father at times. And he wasn't a very good person when people who had saved his life had good-looking wives. And he paid some terrible prices for those things and he did some evil things. And what does that mean? Not that anything other than if David could make some big mistakes. We, you know, someone's in the Word, we look at these people and we think that we put them up on this pedestal. And it's good in some respects because they're good examples. But they were just people who had the ability to sin, as do we. Yet his example shows us that even in his fallen state, he could go to God and say, Lord, I trust you. No matter what I want to do, I trust that your way is the right way. And that's why he was a man after God's own heart. Not because of anything else. It's just his heart was always towards God. And we need to do those same things, I believe. We need to consistently be looking at our lives. And when we're in the midst of a difficult time, or when the prayers don't seem to be answered, say, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I believe that you have got my best interest at heart. Jeremiah 29:11 says that he has a future for us, a hope. right? He wants us to succeed. Sometimes it doesn't feel like that. But I know in my own life when the Lord has touched me. I mean, there's times when he's touched me instantaneously. The miraculous, as we've been talking about this year, there's been times when he's touched me instantaneously and I haven't even had the faith for it. And I've said that to him. I said, Lord, I reckon we're all just sitting here and this probably isn't going to do much, but I'm going to pray about it. If it doesn't work, we'll all have a bit of a laugh and move on. And I've been healed. Interesting, right? There's other times when I've had the faith and it's taken years to get the answer. God's got us on a journey. We shouldn't not think that we're going to get the answers, but they may not come when we want them. How do we respond? What does God want from us? He wants to develop our character. And so tonight, as I wrap this up, I just want to pray that I'm not going to have an altar call or anything. I just want to, maybe Andy, if you could just come up and just play a bit of music. I'm just going to spend a few minutes. I just want us to think about where we're at. And, you know, I know that some of us are probably in a really good place, and that's great. But I'm sure there's people here tonight who are in the midst of some trials that just aren't being answered. And I think that the Lord is saying, and he said it to me this year in a very clear way, Hamish, how are you responding when the situation's not as you wanted it to be? Right? And I do believe that there's times when he puts us in these places to stretch us. Right? If Daniel had to be stretched, then we are going to have to be stretched. If Jesus had to be stretched, Jesus sat in the desert for 40 days. And Jesus had some trials. If he had to be stretched, then we're going to have to be stretched. There is a journey we've got to walk on. And tonight I just want to just pray, and I just want to spend just a couple of minutes. If you could just play that last song you did. And as we just sing, I just want to sing once through or whatever. I don't want to drag this out. I just want you to mull on where you're at and what the Lord's doing in your life. And if you need to just say, Lord, there's something that, you know, I haven't handled well, then just put it before him. You know, stick it into your spirit and say, Lord, we need to deal with this. And maybe tonight you just note that that's what it is. And then next week or, you know, this week, whatever, in your quiet time, just spend some time with him about it. He'll speak to you. Ask him. Like I did, just say, Lord, what have I said that has stuffed this up? How is my actions stuffing up the situation? And I'll tell you now, the Holy Spirit will bring the thoughts into your head. I don't know how he speaks to you, but he speaks to me just in thoughts. He doesn't go, Hamish. You know, it's just if the thought comes in, act on it. It's pretty simple. If a thought comes in of something that you've done that you shouldn't have done, then just say, Lord, I renounce that. Forgive me for it. And replace it with something good. Replace it with a blessing. Pray a blessing into that situation. So just have a think as we sing this song.